Now, I'm going to ask a question, and it's one of those questions whereby you don't really have to say anything. I'm sure I'll know the answer by the expression on your face. So, have any of you in here ever known a jerk? I'm talking a bona fide jerk. Now, this jerk can be your spouse, could be parents, could be children, could be grandparents, could be aunt, could be uncle, could be brother, could be sister, could be uncle, could be any kind of relative, could be niece, could be nephew, could be, you know, your in-laws, just whatever. Not so much your friends. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because it's easier to separate yourself from friends than it is from family. You know what I'm talking about. So the focus of this jerk thing is primarily on family, secondarily on friends. So, you know, how many of you ever known a jerk? How many of you currently know a jerk? Now, now I'm not asking you to identify.
You see who I'm sitting next to, Brother Mark.
Now, here's the way it works with a jerk. They're not a jerk all the time. Sometimes they're nice. And those times when they're nice, you think, wow, this is nice. Wonder if they're going to be like this forever. I hope. Well, you know, give it a little time. When I say a little time, like maybe 10 minutes, a couple of hours. The jerk shows up. The problem is, as a Christian, we're not supposed to call people jerks. So I'm not calling anybody specifically a jerk. But you all know what I'm talking about. And it's really bad if the jerk lives under the same roof with you. And I'm not trying to be cruel. Look, let's just be flat out honest here, okay? There are people like that. And it really gets to you. It wears on you. It wears you down. You get tired of it. At times you don't know how much more you can take. And if it's not somebody that lives under the same roof with you, then when the phone rings, you hope it's not them. And nowadays, you thank God for caller ID. Because if it's the jerk calling, you won't answer. Hey, I'll just stand right here and be totally honest. There are some phone numbers that come across our caller ID. It goes to the answering machine. I do not answer. Now, I'm not trying. You're sitting there thinking, so that's why I had to leave. Come on now. I'm not being a jerk, okay? But there are people that are like that. We just don't want to talk about it because it's not the Christian thing to talk about people like that. But that's just the way it is. And it's not like we made these people jerks. They're just jerks. What, for whatever reason. Now, in some cases, we can kind of blame ourselves for being in this relationship with the jerk. See, as I've gotten older, I have gotten wiser in the Lord. And I look at things and I see how that a lot of Christians, they meet somebody and fall in love, and they just put on the blinders when it comes to either that person or their family. I don't care how much you love that person, you are not going to change their family. And when you get married, you better get it settled right here, right now. You're marrying into that family. And if that family has one or more jerks, then you just better get it settled right here, right now. You're going to live with it forever until you or they die. Or maybe they'll change. I mean, that is possible. And the thing is, as harsh as it may seem, it's better to go through a broken heart now than to enter into that kind of a marriage relationship where you're going to regret it later on. And there are times, don't anybody respond to this one, but there are times when some Christians sit back and think, why on God's green earth did I marry this person? You know, maybe the person is not so bad, but the family is just lousy. Or they got, it's like the whole people took jerk pills, and everybody in the family is just a moron. They don't know when to shut up. They don't know when to back off. They don't know when to be nice. And it's like they're always on you. And every time you're together, they throw out little digs. And this could be even your spouse as well. And let me tell you something. I hope nobody wants to fuss about this one. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way you don't know a jerk before you marry them. There will be some warning signs somewhere, somehow, in that relationship. And don't come and tell me, well, they changed after we got married. No. There were signs somewhere along the line. There was something there somewhere, simmering under the surface. Something was there. But you put the blinders on because you were so much in love and you ignored it and you went ahead and you got married and you shouldn't have done it. Then you come fussing at the pastor. Well, I just don't know why. I don't know what am I going to do? I just want to. And the pastor, I mean, if he's bluntly honest, just wants to say, hey, suck it up. You're the one that got in this. Yes, but we sat with you in premarital counseling. That's right, you did. And you both lied to me the whole time. And I could tell. And I'm being honest with that one there, okay? Now, I'm not saying every couple lied. Most all of them have, though. They've lied to me in the premarital counseling. I ask them, oh, yeah, well, it's so much. And, you know, we go to. Because I ask questions about the, you know, the relationship, about the other family and so forth. And, man, I can tell. If I can tell, don't tell me you can't. If I can pick up there are problems, then you know. You just don't want to admit it. After a while, you get to the point to where if you're married to a jerk, you want a divorce. But you don't have, I mean, you are looking through Scripture for a reason. It's like, oh, here's one. I wonder if I could pull this one out of context and use it. Something about Judas hung himself, go and do the. They got a special on rope down here at the hardware store. I wonder if I could buy it and pass it along or something. You're looking for reasons to get divorced. Now, here's the thing. You're in a mess. And you don't know what to do. Now, I want you, let's read some verses to go along with this. Turn to Psalm 38. Because you see, it's not just you. This is life. And you're not the only person who's gone through this jerk experience. In Psalm 38, look here, verse 19. But my enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. In other words, they won't stop. They won't hush. They won't get off my back. God, where are you? Hurry up and get here. Help me out. All too often, the kind of help that we want is not the kind of help that he's going to give. In fact, in some cases, the thought actually crosses a person's mind, I don't know that I'd be really that brokenhearted if that person died. Now, I don't want them to die, but I just, because of everything I've gone through, I don't know how many tears I would really shed. Well, look over in Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, bring my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. What we're reading so far, is this kind of describing how this works? These people, they just accuse you. They speak harshly to you. They use all kinds of foul language and names and just, I mean, and it varies from jerk to jerk how they do. They manipulate, they cut down, they explode. Just on and on it goes. And you know, sometimes you just wish it was legal to take a frying pan and smash them in the face. And maybe even reached for one the other day. I don't know. Now Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Describe anything you know? Anything you've been through? Probably so. Maybe not for every person, but for some people hearing this, yeah, absolutely. And there are times you get so exasperated you don't know what to do. Is there no end to this? Is there no way out? I've actually known, and I want to speak in very broad general terms, I've actually known of situations where there was a divorce, and as I look at the sum total of the situation, I know that God is against divorce, but the one person is far better off not being associated with that family. Now, that was not my stamp of approval, you understand, on a divorce or what have you. But there are times when, and I have to be very vague, because if I get too specific, some people hearing this could say, well, I know who you're talking about. So I don't want to give anything away. But there are some families, I'm telling you right now, I would not want to be associated with. As far as a marriage is concerned, not even as an in-law, I would not want to be associated with that family. No way. Because of, and some of you sitting there, you probably know of families you would not want to be associated with as far as marriage is concerned. You wouldn't want to be an in-law. Well, let's look at another place. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Now, what we're getting ready to read in Romans chapter 3 is not speaking specifically of what we're talking about here tonight. But what we're getting ready to read is a type of description of this kind of situation. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now let me just say this right here. The person who's a jerk, if they're truly seeking after God, eventually they will no longer be a jerk. Listen, you argue with that all you want. These people that wanted to fit, well, I'm a type A personality. Okay, fine. Be a type A personality. But what you're really saying is, I like being a jerk and this is just the way I'm going to be. Well, bottom line, you're a jerk. Because if you were truly seeking after God, the character, the nature of God himself would start to come through. What is the number one fruit of the born-again spirit? Love. So there you go. So continuing in this, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Does that not describe some jerks? Now, they may not be swift to shed blood. We understand that. But figuratively speaking, they shed blood with their words, with their attitude and so forth. And we're describing situations that are very common in this world. Sadly, they are common in the body of Christ. And I have met people over the years who are jerks. As soon as I meet them, I can tell you're a jerk. I can just tell. And they think they have everybody fooled as to what they are. But they don't. And the truth of the matter is, there are times when I meet people and I know immediately they're a jerk, and I could stand there and I could tell them what they're doing in life. I could tell them what they're doing with their family. I could tell them how they're acting. I could tell them about their temperament. I could literally read their mail because it becomes an open book to me. Now, I've never done that, but it happens. Now, what I want to read to you, after reading all this scripture, and everybody in here, you can bear witness with how scripture we've read describes this person who's a jerk. I want to read something to you that the Lord shared with me. I don't know how far back this goes. It might be 2, 3, 4 years. In fact, at one time, I didn't think I would ever be released to share this publicly. But it just, as he was ministering to me about what I was going to minister, this came back up again. So I'm just going to read it to you. Now, before I do, you need to understand, jerks are jerks for a reason. They did not wake up one day and say, you know, I'm going to be a jerk the rest of my life. They're jerks for a reason. A lot of it has to do with pride. And many times, jerks just reek with pride. Some of it has to do with a very poor self-image. And being a jerk is a defense mechanism for a poor self-image. Now, I could stand here and go on about, and sometimes it's because of this, and sometimes they're a jerk because of that. Regardless, though, they're jerks. Now, the longer they're jerks, the more likely they are to stay that way. Now, that being said, let me read this to you. Remember the pride thing, okay. Self-exaltation will always take offense at things more stable people will overlook. Those caught up in self-exaltation have difficulty submitting to authority when their own way is challenged. If the self-absorbed person is a male, and the person in authority is a woman, the challenge to submit will be even greater. The self-absorbed male will generally disrespect all women. They will demonstrate, now this isn't simply about men, okay, but in that situation where it is a male. They will demonstrate, the jerk, the self-exaltation, self-absorbed, they will demonstrate childish behavior and attitudes when they feel they have been wronged. You can often tell what is going on because they will wear their immaturity in their facial expressions. They will be unpredictable. One day they will be all smiles, happy, and communicative. The next time they will be sullen, short-answered, pouty, and distracted. They do not want to be confronted over their behavior and will often become defensive if they are confronted. If the person is a single child, there is a good chance this behavior has been supported simply because there have been no siblings with whom attention had to be shared. If this person is a Christian, they will want to be accepted because they approve of themselves beyond their true level of maturity. They expect others
to accept their behavior because they have chosen to act this way and approve of what they do, irrespective of how a Christian is supposed to act. A narcissistic Christian will not be able to be of great benefit to you because his focus is too much on self. Has the Lord described anybody you know? Odds are yes. And that is sad. And this is the kind of thing that simply does not get spoken enough in churches. But there are a lot of Christians that need to grow up and get over themselves and quit being jerks. There are a lot of Christians, we've had some in this building over the years since I've been here, that if you don't look at them just right, if you don't say the right thing, if you don't approach them in just the right way, then you better watch out that, you know, their bottom lip's going to stick out, and that's it. And they're going to make the other people around them miserable. Well, people like that, I mean, really, what do you do with children like that? You send them to the room. You know, go stand in the corner, whatever it is. Well, what are you going to do if they're adults? What are you going to do? And therein lies the problem. Because right now, some of you have little smiles on your face, and you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're thinking of somebody right now. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. You say, is there an answer? Well, yeah, there's an answer. You might not like it, but there is an answer. No, you don't go buy a gun. No, it's just...
What about a 2x4? They sell those down at the lumber store.
No. Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, let me put something to you. Let me help you understand something here. Before we read this in Hebrews 12. You need to understand, no matter what you do, you are not going to change a jerk. You say, well, praise God, Brother Martin, it sure makes me feel better about my life. You're not going to change the jerk. And if you're married to a jerk, you better listen to the rest of this message. Because you cannot scripturally divorce somebody for being a jerk. The only thing, you can't do that.
You know, well, we got divorced. Why is that?
What is it they use? Irreconcilable differences or something. You know, that's just amazing. You know, judges ought to look at people like that and say, hey, then reconcile them. Get over it. You come back in here again, I'll lock you both up. I don't care. Boom, next case. Now I know judges can't do that. But the reality is there are a lot of people living with jerks. And to keep hoping, change is going to come. Well, I've got news for you, dear heart. Until that person yields to Jesus Christ, there ain't going to be no change. Now, there might be medication that will force a change. But that's not the answer, because when the medication wears off, the jerk rises from the slumber. And what happens with a lot of Christians, they want to bury their heads in the sand and pretend the person is not a jerk. And not only that, many Christians will begin defending the jerk. Well, now it's not. Yo, it is. It is. The worst thing you can do is defend the behavior of a jerk, because then you become an enabler. It needs to be acknowledged. Yeah, but I'm afraid to confront him or her. I understand that. I do. Because you know if you do, they're going to explode. You know if you do, it's going to be, you know, a volcanic eruption in the home, and you don't want to go through it anymore. And you feel trapped. You feel like you're in a prison. You feel like you're locked up. Well, what are you going to do? Because all this stuff that I've been sharing here tonight, this is real, this is life, and there's a good chance that some of you listening to this, either live or over the internet or listening to the recording of it, we're describing your life right here. There's a good chance. So what are you going to do? Well, you can't change this person. And the worst thing you can do, one of the worst things you can do, is commit sin. Well, you know, the way that they treated me and
you know, I just fell into the arms of another person. Oh, that's the justification? Seriously? How's that going to hold up with God? Well, he's not, trust me, he's not going to look at you and say, I know, I'd have done the same thing. I just, I don't blame you. Come on in, you're all right. It ain't going to work. And you don't want to turn to, you know, the chemical solution. I wish they'd hurry up and legalize that stuff so I could make it through this relationship. Just because man says it's legal doesn't mean it's right. It's amazing the way Christians justify things. Hebrews chapter 12. Now look here. You're going to start seeing some answers. Verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The one thing that you don't want to do, that you must fight against, that you must avoid, is allowing the root of bitterness to dig in. Because he says, if you do that, you're going to end up defiling yourself. Yet the jerk's already defiled himself or herself, whatever the case may be. And he says, you better not let this bitterness take root. And he starts out here by saying, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And that describes the person who's living in the jerk relationship. Or, I mean, whether it's marriage to that jerk, or the family thing, or whatever it would be. Why are the hands hanging down and why are the knees feeble? Because you want to give up and quit. Because there are those times when you think, I just wish I could die. Because there's no other way to get out of this. And you don't know which way to turn. And he says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Lift them up. What am I going to do if I'm lifting them up? He's talking about worshiping the Lord. He's talking about praise. But I don't feel like it. Well, that's why they're hanging down and why there's feebleness. It's because you don't feel like it. And God knows it. And so God is saying, in the middle of not feeling like it, here's what you do. But my heart's not in it. You do it anyway. He didn't say if your heart is in it. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And he says, and now in doing this, you are beginning to guard yourself against the root of bitterness. Because when that root of bitterness gets in there, you better watch out. In fact, let's look at another place in Ephesians chapter 4. Kind of goes along with the same line here. Ephesians chapter 4. And just take a look here. We'll jump in the middle of this. Well, actually toward the end of it. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here's how you handle a jerk. Does that mean that they will change when you do this? No. In fact, they might even get worse. How many times have you tried to be nice to somebody and they just seem to get even madder? And you scratch your head thinking, I don't get this. I thought when I showed people love, it would change things. Yeah, you. It's not going to change them. Every now and then you hear these stories about,
well, I'll tell you what, I was just such a lousy husband for 34 years, but oh, she just loved me and loved me and loved me through it. And then the day came when finally I saw the light.
Well, praise God. Thank Jesus you finally saw the light. But that's one out of how many thousands of relationships? Just because it happened with one person doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen to another, because you can't change the jerk. The jerk can only be changed when the jerk wants to be changed. And this pride thing is what keeps a lot of people jerks. Just what the Lord shared about the self-exaltation, the narcissistic Christian and all this kind of, all that. Man, until somebody wants to be different, they're not going to be different. The problem is, pride is one of the greatest blinders in all humanity, because when you are blinded by pride, you think you're cool, you think you got it together, you think you're the it. And you think everybody else is a jerk, when the thing is, you don't realize everybody else knows you're the jerk. But still, you know, as a Christian, you got to walk in love. You have to. I mean, that's the way it is with God. You still have to love that person. Doesn't mean, well, I got to move on here. Now, he says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Be put away from you. Be put away from you. Which means you've got to guard yourself against the bitterness and the clamor and the evil speaking. And sometimes, guys, that's just not easy, is it? No, it's not. Because sometimes, now, there's a difference between what we just read and bringing correction. According to the Word of God, not me, I don't make the rules. According to Scripture, this is what God has to say about what you're doing. And don't even look at me and say, don't judge me, don't you judge me. I'm telling you, God has already judged your actions according to His Word. Now, you're going to have to deal with that with God, but not me. I'm telling you what God has said. And that's really the way it's supposed to be handled. Still doesn't mean they're going to respect it and receive it. But that's how it is approached. But we have to keep all bitterness and wrath and anger, you know, being angry and sin not. We have to put it away. Put it away from us. Put it away. What that means is, it just might be there. We have to put it away. Put it away. And be kind. This being kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving, that is not becoming an enabler. Jesus did not enable people in their sin. I mean, he'd look at people and say, all right, look, you're healed, but go and sin no more. The one guy, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. So, there is a right way to address this, and being kind and forgiving and so forth, that is not being an enabler. Not at all. Now, I want to read, now, with this in mind, what we just read in Hebrews, what we just read in Ephesians, about not letting bitterness take root, I want to read something else to you. Depression, anger, and bitterness interfere with your ability to hear and receive from God. Offense and such emotions are a result, now listen to this, are a result of a lack of faith in God. When you're the one who's being mistreated by the jerk, offense and such emotions are a result of a lack of faith in God. Meaning you really don't believe God's there to help you. Because what God wants to do is help you get through it. See, you've heard the term, if you made your bed, sleep in it. There are a lot of Christians who have, quote, made their bed. They have become a part of a situation where there is a jerk and they knew it going in. Like I was talking earlier, there's some people should never have married the person they married because they married into a jerk situation. It should never have happened. But you did it, and now you got to live with it. And warn others to watch out for this stuff. Seriously. You know, just because you love somebody does not mean that you're supposed to marry them. Boy, let that one sink in. I love you, but I'm sorry, I'm not marrying into your family. I'm not going to do this. Oh, but we'll get along. Everything will be okay. No, it won't. Because if they're going to be jerks now before we get married, what do you think is going to happen afterward? I love you, but I'm sorry. This is not going to work out. Well, you know, that's going to elicit a whole lot of, well, why did he break up with you? Because you're all jerks. That's why. And he's right. And I'm not going to make you choose between your family and me. I'm just telling you what it is. Wow, how many people do that? Well, anyway, continuing with this. Depression, anger, and bitterness interfere with your ability to hear and receive from God. Offense and such emotions are a result of a lack of faith in God. Unchecked, now listen to this closely, unchecked, this will lead to unforgiveness, one of the most destructive forces in a believer. It will eventually impact relationships, meaning you allowing the anger and the bitterness to start to build up. It will eventually impact relationships with other Christians and people you trust. You won't think they can tell, but it will be visible, increasingly so, if not dealt with. Meaning it's going to drag you down, and people are going to start to notice. And you're going to start becoming the next jerk. The way you talk to people, the way that you respond, your short answers, your attitude. And you get to the place to where you don't care. Because they don't know what I'm going through. Well, guess what? To be blunt, they really don't care what you're going through. Now, they care about you, but when it comes to them caring so much about what you're going through that it's okay for you to become the next generation of jerk, no. That's not right. That's not right. And you begin severing relationships. Relationships that you desperately need in your life. You begin pushing people away. Oh, they're still going to love you. They'll still pray for you and all that. But who wants to be around a jerk? This is not easy, but that's the way it is. And if you don't guard yourself against this, see, some people would say things in these kind of situations like, I've just reached my limit. I've just reached my limit. No, you haven't. You said, well, how do you know? You're not going through what I'm... No, but what I do know is this. The Bible, God Himself has said, you'll never be tempted beyond what you're able to handle. You have not reached your limit. What it is, you're yielding emotionally to this situation, and you're allowing it to become an unnecessary burden. You're assuming false responsibility for this situation. Responsibility that does not belong to you. And it's now weighing on you. And you're the one who is changing. Not the other person. Isn't that interesting? To be blunt about it, Satan is winning. Because see, you're not the only target in this. For one thing, Satan looks for an opening in a person's life. And if he thinks he can use the jerk to really drag you down, that is exactly what he'll do. You know, one of the best ways to get a jerk to start to back off a little bit is when they start being a jerk, you go to God and begin praising and worshiping Him. Because see, when Satan begins to realize it ain't working like it used to, he'll look for something else to use. Now, I want to show you a passage of Scripture that it kind of summarizes the approach that we should take in this. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Now, we're just going to begin reading here in verse 1. I'm the person that has been just abused by the jerk. So here's my response. Not necessarily to the jerk's face, but this is my response in general in my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a path, in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's your answer right there. That is the summary of how we are supposed to respond, because this person is describing jerk after jerk after jerk is coming against me. However, I will hang around the tabernacle of the Lord. I will lift up my praise. I will put my trust in him. He will be my confidence. He will be my strength. He will be my joy. He will be my sustenance. He will be my deliverer. He will be the one that sees me through this. And I don't know how long it's going to be that I'm still going to be surrounded by all of these jerks and their constant mouth, their constant cruelty. On and on it's going to go. But you know what? My God is going to lift up my head above mine enemies, and my focus will be on him, not on them, no matter what they say, no matter what they do. You want to mess up Satan? This is what you do. This is how you react. Does that mean? See, in all of this, you can't find where the Lord replies and says, yes, and you will no longer face mean people. No, the Lord says, you do this, you're going to find me. I'll be there for you. I will sustain you. I will strengthen you. Yeah, you may be around that jerk for a long time, but I will lift you up and set your feet on a rock, and you will not be moved. Praise God. So the living reality is, yeah, there are jerks in the world, and yes, everybody in this room, everybody listening, everybody watching, we probably know our share of jerks. However, we do not have to allow the jerk to drag us down. If the jerk wants to sink, that's the jerk's choice. But I will rise with my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah.